Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny six-car crash with Lamborghini. Now we don't know if he will play. We're talking Rashee Rice. We're talking all kinds of Chiefs things on the podcast today. I just could not use that opener, even if it's like a week or two late. We're still going to talk about it because we're debuting the Chiefs worryometer today. I wish I had something. It's just me doing this with my hand, basically saying no low. We'll get to it in just a second. And by the way, the Chiefs have fewer worries than most teams. Sterling Holmes, I'm here with my man who has no worries ever, basically.
No worries, baby.
He kind of floats through life with perfect hair and perfect takes. How are you today?
Just vibing, baby. Things are good, man. It's weird. If you are in the Kansas City area, you saw the wide array of weather. You saw it all within, well, it's only 3 o'clock central right now, from basically 7 a.m. to now. If you don't like the weather in Kansas, just wait about 5 minutes because we saw a tornado warning. We've seen beautiful skies, which it is right now. We've seen extreme wind. We have seen a torrential downpour. We've seen thunderstorms. We've seen it all, baby. It's been crazy, but things are good, man. Things are always good when you're the reigning back-to-back Super Bowl champions. All the other teams are like, well, how do we get better? The draft is the most important thing. And we sit back and are like, yeah, that's fine. It's cool.
Right.
Is it necessary? Nah, baby.
You know, you say all this, but I got to lead today's episode with this because these are dire times, folks. Dire times. The NFL announced today that Applebee's Bar and Grill is some official partner for some bar and grill bullshit. I don't even give a shit. Okay, look, fucking Applebee's. I'll say this. The Chiefs would be in Super Bowls 4 years in a row. 4 years in a row. If they didn't allow a schlub who sings that Applebee's on a date night song to be able to play at halftime. But you know, and I know, 2 years ago against the Cincinnati Bengals, some guy whose first name is Walker, which is a last name. Fuck that guy. Anyway, they let this guy play in the middle of the field. Applebee's on a date night. Get your something, 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 something. I don't even know what he's saying. But he's a cheap ass because, one, he's taking his girlfriend to Applebee's. He saves up for it, and he's like, one check, girl, I got you. Whatever it is. He sings that fucking song, and then Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals advance. And that's the one Super Bowl in the last four that we don't go to. The Bengals lost it, by the way, because they didn't deserve it either. But here's what I'm saying. Applebee's is the – I'm telling you this. I have my sources. You just got to trust me on this. Applebee's is the NFL's best attempt – to come against the Chiefs. Everyone thinks the NFL is for the Chiefs, but they're not. They worked with Applebee's to conspire a couple years ago, and it absolutely worked. It was the equivalent of the cowboy, of the country guy. He basically vomited in the middle of the field, and the Chiefs couldn't get over it, and they lost that game. Now the NFL announces today some long-term, some something with Applebee's, some partnership with – I couldn't delete the press release fast enough – because I didn't want that shit in my inbox. But I'm telling you this, the NFL and the Applebee's aren't even making a secret of it anymore. It's an official agreement. I'm beside myself over the whole thing. I had to go outside and get some vitamin D and whatever. What's going on here, Sterling?
I mean, I'm a Chili's man, personally.
Baby back ribs. I love that song. I love those ribs. Give it to me, whatever. How much do you blame that Applebee's date night song for what happened? Are you worried about the NFL's partnership with Applebee's? What's going on here?
Yeah, I'm terrified. I am. There's perpetual unrest that Applebee's and the NFL are now a legitimate partnership. I think, quite frankly, this is just the big national media tired of Kansas City destroying the 31 other teams. You know, all those East Coasters and the West Coast elite, they're just sitting here laughing, going, and they're actually kind of getting together and they're scheming, if you will, trying to find ways to take down the Kansas City Chiefs. And they know the only possible way you can stop Mahomes, quite frankly, is the kryptonite that is Applebee's. It's bullshit, quite frankly. I think there needs to be an investigation into this, but that's where I stand.
I'm not okay. I need better news. Do we have like a good deal for people out there? Give me something.
Applebee's on a date night. If you want a good deal and you want to get happy, I got something just for you. DraftKings is offering a fantastic sign-up bonus for new users. New customers can place a $5 first bet on any sport to instantly claim $200 in bonus bets when you sign up with our code Arrowhead. You will also receive one no-sweat single-game parlay every single day. The best part is that you will get both rewards, even if that first bet loses. Using our code Arrowhead, it not only gets you these bonuses, but it also directly supports our podcast. If you've been considering signing up for DraftKings, make sure you use the code Arrowhead to maximize those first bets. This offer is only available to new customers who are 21 plus and fiscally present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. I'm with you, Daniel. Applegate. That's what we're going to call that. But Matt, I have an idea. The reason why I stood up earlier was not to get away from your glorious rant.
No, that's fine.
It was actually to grab this bad boy. It's the fun meter. Okay. It's kind of like the worry meter. You have the max. That's maximum amount of worry.
Love it.
That's minimum right there. Minimum amount of No. That's medium. Sorry. That's the medium amount right there. And then the blue. Oh no, not the blue. That's the minimum. That means, maybe I'm not worried at all. I guess I don't know how we want to make this thing work.
It's men, I like it. We got min, med, and max.
Yeah,
min, medium, max. That's what we got. Yeah, I love it.
I'll tell you what though, Matt. This right here. Yeah. I'm always on max fun with you. Okay, you just think of that.
That warms my heart. By the way, Joshua Clayton says we need props in the show, and it just reminded me. I was like, yeah. By the way, folks, this is our props budget. Sterling gets up and goes to get a button for what's going on. So,
I also have a kazoo. So, quite frankly, if you want little mini props, I have you covered.
if you thought that other Chiefs shows out there had the goods, I mean, they do, really. But we try to have some goods here, too. Anyway, what is that?
It's playing the Pink Panther, baby.
Okay. Now Sterling's basically like in his basement on some PBS show going through his old, like whatever he can find in some sort of like tchotchke kind of way. So on this episode, here's what we thought. We're heading into the draft in just a couple weeks. Actually, less than 2 weeks. So a week from Thursday begins the draft. And before then, here's what we thought. We thought, let's take stock of the Chiefs, entire organization. Look, top to bottom, everything about the Chiefs. Let's consult our official worryometer, Chiefs worryometer, trademark, if you will, by the way, with max, medium, or minimum, and talk about how worried we are about various things that may have the fan base in some level of an uproar, if you will. And we might as well start with what I think is probably the single most worrisome thing going on right now.
And that is the final prop, which is this pig. Guess what happens now? It's pulled pork.
Oh, I hate it.
It's pulled pork. Pulled it.
I hate it. I don't even know what to do. One, we're doing an audio podcast and Sterling's pulling out visuals. So already, basically, folks, welcome to Airhead Addict, where we try to alienate as much of the viewership or readership or listenership as we possibly can.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Anyway, we're here with the Chiefs worry outer. Sterling, let me bring you this. Rashee Rice, his status, the status of like playing time this year, his availability to the Chiefs. I don't need to introduce him to you, although I will here, as the Chiefs' best receiver by a country mile. How worried are you on the worryometer here?
Well, let me get out this very expensive, it costs the majority of our budget, fancy meter here. My worryometer, man, for Rashee Rice and his status, I'm going to throw it getting close to the max. See that right there? We're in the yellow, but it's getting close to the max, okay? And it's multiple reasons why I have this close to the max, but not the max. The reason why it's not the max is because I think he's back in Kansas City. He's not going to miss a full season, I don't think. I think it's going to be less than 8 games, probably less than 6 games. I'm thinking around 4, right? But my concern is, one, where do the Chiefs go with those 4 games? Two, the rumors of that he was not in contact. Sorry, audio listeners.
Sterling's trying to make a point, and suddenly his screen is filled with balloons because his computer, which is ever so smart, thought he was making some sign for partying and balloons. And so now he can't do anything other than laugh. Number two, what?
Yeah, number two, with I'm sorry, man. This is just slapstick comedy.
We are such a polished show today. I felt so good. I made a nice show sheet. I got it all set. We have plenty to talk about. And instead, here we are.
To the rumors that he was not in contact with the Chiefs for a whole week following the incident. That does not give me a ton of confidence. Three, you know, right now he currently could be training with Mahomes, and maybe he is. And he told, you know, hey guys, I don't want to be shot on film, right? I don't want to be shot on your TikToks and Instagram and the videos, right? But when Mahomes was listing all the guys that were down there, he was throwing to in Texas, not Rashee. We know he's down there in Texas. Now, is that the legal process? But I feel like they're not stopping him from going out. If he wants to get a ride to practice to get some throws in and get some catches in, I think he could. That has me slightly concerned. Maybe he's just all in his head. He's just so embarrassed. He doesn't want to, you know, he wants to reflect on what happened. Maybe could be. But it's just not a good situation for a young player to be in, especially it's his first offseason back with money. And this is what happened. Luckily, things were not worse. But that's why my worry-o-meter is, again, close to the max, not quite there, but it's above the medium amount.
Yeah. That all sounds fair to me. I would have to agree with you. I don't like hate the situation. Hate anyone who, you know, I feel for anyone affected by the situation. It's traumatic. I can't imagine some cars zooming past me at 120, then suddenly, you know, maybe flipping over, all these cars bumping into each other on the highway. And, it's dangerous. It's reckless. It's not right. That said, I feel like I wasn't too worried about a suspension. I felt like it was going to settle. But then some of these lawsuits are coming out, and now there's like more injuries alleged than there was before. And now it's going to be hard to sift, I think, to sift through the details of both criminal and civil cases and know what's going to play out. I think Rice and the Chiefs could be surprised by how this goes in any way, whether it's leniency or seriousness. I think it's just going to, the Chiefs are going to have to go forward with some level of a mystery at a position that just can't. It's frustrating that it has to happen there at wide receiver. Where you're going, is Kadarius Toney going to even be on the team, or is he going to be dangerous? Is Sky Moore going to have anything, or is he, there's so many questions there already.
Well, and what makes it even, I don't know if paradoxical is the word, but where the Chiefs for a while were like, no, we're not drafting like George Pickens because of off the field stuff or me first stuff. And then the Chiefs try and over she had some other stuff coming out. And now that we've heard after this, that maybe there were some red flags. Was it Keyshawn Johnson that came out and was talking about the red flags and stuff like that in regards to Rasheed? But you're like, the Chiefs have been known to try and stay away from some of those guys in the draft. And yet they still ended up drafting a guy who then did that, right? It's like, well, then why wouldn't you just draft the more talented guy if you never know either way? You can never be sure. So why wouldn't you have then drafted a George Pickens over a Sky Moore? Again, I'm not trying to be revisionist here and go with the better player, but at some point, you just don't know. You might think a dude would never do something like that, and yet he did.
Yeah, yeah. Let's consult the worryometer one more time here about Rasheed. But what do you think about his finances? I'm looking at their need to replace a Lamborghini. I'm looking at civil suits rolling in. The guy's on a rookie deal, slotted deal. It's not like he's like raking it in. He's 3 years from free agency. Who knows? Who can even tell his future, etc. Like, is this kid already going to be completely broke, at the NFL level when he's 23? Like, what do you think about that? You don't care.
Funometer, the worryometer that a minimum. Sorry, it is what it is. Like, you shouldn't have done that. You should not have done that at all. He'll make his money back. It's not like he's going to get kicked out of the NFL. Again, they're not going to all of a sudden make him so he can't eat and they can't all of a sudden play football anymore. I don't think that's going to be the case. Like, if you're broke, does that mean you now can't play in the NFL? No. They'll find a way to work around it, man. They'll find a way for his teammates will take him in. His coaches or however it's going to happen will help him out. Maybe that means he has to stay out of trouble and he can't go out at night because he doesn't have the funds to go to a bar and buy a $3 beer. I don't know, but no, that is not, as a Chiefs fan, that does not bother me whatsoever. Yeah. And as Mr. Lawyer Guy says, perfect name, by the way, phenomenal name, says that's why God invented insurance.
True, true, true. All right. Up next on the Chiefs worryometer, Charles Omenihue's rehabilitation, that whole scenario, how worried does that make you for him, for this year, for the position, whatever angle you want to take there? Where are you at?
I'm at the medium amount. That's right there at the medium amount on Charles Omenihue in his rehab and everything. Because it's not just the rehab that makes me nervous. It's the combination of him getting injured and then going to social media and talking about how good he was. I'm an impact player. And why am I not getting another contract? And guess I got to grind harder and all this. It's like, yeah, you had a good year, but you're injured again. Like, what do you want people to do? You're missing more games. You missed games last year. Like, and again, that wasn't injury necessarily last year. But like, at some point, if you can't play a full season, what team's going to sit here and go, you know what? Yeah, we'll give you 3 for 90. Like, that's just not going to happen. It's just not rational. And so part of me sitting here going, is he not going to be rational when it comes to contract talks yet again? Because that would be my concern. I think he's a great player. But until you put together a full season, whether it's injury or off the field stuff, you got to do it. You got to put together a full season with impact if you want to get a decent, long-term, large contract. So if he's not going to be realistic and go a little bit like J.K. Dobbins, right? Kind of feels J.K. Dobbins-esque. That's going to be another team. Or everyone else does the exact same thing and he comes back to Kansas City on a revamped deal. I like Charles Omenihu a lot. I think there's a lot of talent still in there. I'm intrigued to see what he looks like coming back post-injury. I do think a lot of the draft and if there's another veteran brought in or not might say something, but I still do think Mike Dana's 3-year contract might tell us more about him than it does about FAU.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you here. I think Omenihu is loved and he knows how to like pump up that meter. But you're right. You know, you miss 8 games with a suspension. Now you're going to miss the majority of games this year. I mean, who knows when we'll get him back. But even when he comes back, he's going to have to get back into like game shape. Part of it is that mental side, right? I mean, anytime there's a major injury to like an ACL, an ankle, something like that, there's the trust factor of yourself. Like he's like, I just doubt, I mean, very few people have the ability to just come right back onto the field with the full like self-trust that their ankle can handle it, that their knee can withstand that cut, whatever. Like generally we end up hedging physically because we have a hard time trusting our own moves after having been burned in that way. So, you know, that takes time. You got to get hit the first few times and go, oh, okay, maybe I will be okay. All that takes so long that, yeah, it may very well be the stretch run or the postseason when we see him again. In terms of his finances, I'm glad he has reps. I mean, like, they can handle those things without, like, him having to get in over his head. But, yeah, what else were you going
to
add there?
I was going to say, I do feel bad for him to an extent because he was breaking out as the season went on, and then that happens. But that's just the nature of the game. Again, it sucks. Again, I will always go back to what would have happened with Mecole Hardman if he would have stayed healthy, right? I do appreciate Jerome's comment that says the worry meter is worth every penny. Thank you. Mm. Yeah, this bad boy, it was very expensive. It was a very large budget that we had just for this.
Sweet prop. But by the way, I used to watch Conan O'Brien like late night. I mean, I used to love Conan O'Brien late night show. And one time he said they spent their entire budget on this whale prop for this show. It was like a month's worth of prop dollars. And he's like, they did this prop with this great white like sperm whale, whatever it was. And it was like the most unfunny skit ever. And then the camera comes back to him and he's like, well, that didn't go over. And also I just approved that was our whole month's worth of prop budget. So the rest of that month, they just kept using the whale in whatever way they possibly could, because he's like, well, that sucked, but I got to use this somehow. We got to get our work out of it somehow. So it just became this actually hilarious thing going on. Anyway, it was great. All right, let's move past Omenihu here. And I want to bring up Clark Hunt as an owner. And I want to bring up the NFLPA, you know, they did that survey saying, look, the Chiefs have kind of gone cheap on some, maybe you'd say, player amenities. Players don't have it as good in Kansas City as they do in other places. Maybe the practice facilities are more run down. The weight room is average, below average. There's kind of this whole thing around, is Clark kind of a limiting owner to the Chiefs? Is he kind of in the way by maybe not spending what he could, not creating an environment that he could, whatever that is, that whole talking point, does that worry you in any way? Minimum, medium, maximum?
It's in the minimum, but it's not all the way down. Like, it's not all the way down at the very bottom of the medium or
it's
the
like
minimum.
Medium rare.
It's like medium rare, right? Okay. Not blue rare, not medium, but medium rare. It's kind of how I like my steaks. So maybe I like him as an owner then. No, because I think there's a lot of good attributes about Clark Hunt.
Yeah.
He stays out of the way. He trusts his guys. He trusts Brett Veach. He hires him and says, I'm hands off.
Love it.
I'm hands off. You do your thing. I don't care. But there is something. Again, it's easy to say, well, why do you care? They keep winning. Well, sure, they're winning right now. But when you see some of these NFLPA reports, and again, there are going to always be some nuances in there that we will not know the full story on. But when you consistently get poor ranks, you're sitting here going, well, you do keep winning. Why don't you invest some more of that money? Why don't you do some more of these things to keep your guys happy? And again, the Chiefs haven't always gotten the free agents. A lot of times we've sat back and said, well, they'll come because they want to win a championship with Mahomes. We haven't got that very often. Like maybe Hollywood Brown this year on that 1 year deal, but like it's not extremely common that you see that. Is this part of the reason why when you get there and you see the facilities and you're like, oh man, that's, I don't know, I'm not getting paid a whole bunch of money. Maybe it's a little less than value, market value. Yeah, it'd be great, but I don't know if I want to go to do all this stuff. I think there might be something to it. Again, I'm not necessarily extremely worried because, again, when the Chiefs keep winning, it's hard to find a ton of fault with how the plan's gone. And I do like how hands-off he is. He's not Jerry Jones. But I do think there's clearly some room for improvement in the what the players and the NFLPA and some of the rumblings there with it.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I'm not too worried. But here's what I don't want. I don't want Mahomes to have to cover over a multitude of sins for the Chiefs. I don't like that. I don't like that. Well, we got Mahomes, so we don't have to spend as much. Well, we have Mahomes, so we don't have to, like, you know, really break out all the amenities that we have. Like, well, we have Mahomes, so like, and I think that's kind of what's happening here. Mahomes is so good that he's making things happen, including Super Bowls. And it's not to say they're without talent. You know, they have great coaches. There's a lot of great things in place. And organizationally, the culture in KC is very strong, right? Like you have good communication. You rarely see a coaching staff and front office work in harmony like what the Chiefs have. I love it. I love the setup. So from that angle, if Clark Hunt is responsible for the organizational flowchart and communication structure of the Chiefs, brilliant. Whoever that is, whoever Mark Donovan, whoever set that up, great. But there's also, I think, enough smoke here to insinuate some level of a fire of, man, you know, we could have better things here. We could be spending more money here. And I know, like, you and Adam maybe talk about, like, Adam Best talks so well about the cap and the way that certain teams can really use it and actually spend more. And he's talked about Clark Hunt and how he doesn't spend. And so I don't want to get all into all that because we've exhausted those topics on shows before. But yeah, I'm with you. I think it's more of a medium for me. I'm not worried about it tanking the franchise. You have Mahomes, just never going to tank the franchise. But I would just love to see this team be all that it could be. Because any year that they don't reach the Super Bowl, I got to blame Applebee's. When really it should be maybe some more spending that he could have done. So, yeah.
This one from Jimmy, you know, those players are making millions of dollars a year. What is good enough? That's not necessarily the issue. I mean, yeah, they're making a lot of money, but wouldn't you want to have extra money spent on extra trainers for preventative training or preventative injury training?
Right.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah, you're right. They make a bleep ton of money. I don't necessarily care as much about the chairs as the next guy, but when it comes to like preventative training and not the players not feeling like they have enough, staff members to help them when they do get injured. Yeah, we hear about Mahomes and Kelce. That's great. Of course, they're going to get the dudes. But when it comes to, you know, 40 through 53 or 25 through 53 on the roster, those guys need to get some help too. That's the issue I have. Again, they're winning, so it's not that big of a deal, right? So that's what it comes down to for me. If the players feel like they're not getting the rehab, they don't feel like they're getting enough attention when it comes to injury prevention.
Yeah.
That's where I have the issue. Again, I'm not saying it's I'm extremely worried. I think Clark Hunt, for the most part, is a phenomenal owner. And I do also wonder, they want the Royals gone. I don't think this is news. They want the Royals gone. Will they revamp Arrowhead? Will they build where Kauffman used to be? Will that become a practice facility? Are they saving some money so they can get everything done all at once? Yeah, I'll entertain that conversation. The issue is that's not going to come for years, right? We're looking 2030, 2031, around that time frame. So if you're waiting for that to happen, you still got a decent amount of time to wait before something like that is going to happen.
Well, let's bring that up. The recent no vote on question one, how worried were you about the way that public vote in Jackson County went down?
I'm not necessarily worried. I was surprised it didn't pass. But Kauffman, they've already said they're not going to play at Kauffman past 2030, 2031, past the current deal. I know Phantom says Royals are not moving anytime soon to downtown area. It might not be downtown, but they're not going to stay there. They already said they're not going to play at Kauffman past the current deal that they have. So whether it's downtown, whether it's North KC, whether it's in Kansas, or whether it's in bleeping Louisville or Nashville, they're it won't be at the K. So I think it was good. Not good. I think it will be good when they split up the ballot, when the Chiefs have their own and the Royals have their own. I don't think the Chiefs help the Royals as much as people might think, because basically Clark Hunt was like, yeah, give me $500 million and we're going to add a bridge and some suites. Like, it was enough to move the needle. It looked like you or I were doing a school project, forgot about it until the night before and said, let's throw it together. Now, maybe it was great, but it wasn't presented as such. That's what it was. So I'm not worried that the Chiefs are ever going to leave. I'm not worried that the Chiefs are going to all of a sudden move to another city. Could they potentially move locations? Maybe, but I would be shocked. It would go against everything Clark Hunt has said for years, which is, we love the fan base. My dad loved the fan base. My dad loved Arrowhead. The tradition. Like, I would be beyond perplexed and shocked if he were to do that. Where else is he going to go where you have the support? Because I truly believe Chiefs Kingdom is the best fan base in all of sports.
Yep.
You're not getting that anywhere else, that connection. You've spent years and years, decades building this together. So no, I don't think they go. So the vote no does not necessarily mean anything worrying in regard to the Chiefs' future in Kansas City, in my opinion.
Yeah. I agree with you. It sounds like you're low, at least in terms of where we're at on the worryometer here. By the way, just to catch us up, if you're just catching in on the show, whatever it is, we're playing around with a new thing called the Chiefs Worryometer on the show, bringing up things, whether we're minimally worried, maximally, is that a word? Worried, or medium. And I want to get back to the roster here, because with the draft coming up next week, there's a chance to address some things. The state of things at offensive tackle: Donovan Smith is gone. Lucas Niang is a body. Jawan Taylor is, depending on what you think of him, he could be an expensive penalty-making machine, or a young guy who's actually a very good pass protector who's growing into his new team and new responsibilities. And then you have Wanya Morris, last year's third-round pick, who got a handful of starts when Donovan Smith went down with an injury late in the year. And then you have the great Prince Tega Wanogo.
You still have that jersey, right?
I still have my Prince Tega Wanogo jersey, one of one, folks. I doubt anyone else has one, including Mrs. Wanogo. So, Sterling, let me ask you this. How worried are you on the worryometer about the state of things at offensive tackle?
It's medium well. We're medium well, not quite into the max category, wow. But we're in the upper medium.
That's some chattering teeth, my friend. That's some That's some looking over your shoulder. That's some apprehension, real apprehension.
Yes. And quickly, I want to say, Jimmy, I appreciate you. We went back and forth right there. And that's why I love America, because we can go back and forth and disagree, but we're still cordial at the end of the day. It's what it comes down to, baby. Appreciate you, Jimmy. When it comes to Juwan Taylor, I was skeptical, to put it mildly, of when he was brought in. I thoroughly hated the contract. I got ripped on by a lot of Chiefs fans for saying, what do you know? How many rings do you have? Well, I don't have any rings, but I know a bad contract when I see one. That was a bad contract. You can be the best GM in football and still be questioning one of his moves. That was one of them. I still think he's going to be a fine right tackle, but with that contract that really – it really defines what you can do on the offensive line. Because I know with the salary cap going up and everything, but then you look at, okay, well, Joe Tooney is the highest or one of the highest paid guards in football. Now the guard market absolutely exploded this past offseason. His contract's not looking that bad. And quite frankly, it's who cares, because Joe Tooney is one of the best left guards in football. When it comes to the next contracts of Creed Humphrey, of Trey Smith, now things start to get questionable. And then the big market. I know we're talking tackle. I'm just going offensive line as a whole because I think there's some repercussions from Juwan Taylor's contract. All right, well, you don't have an out until after 2026. That's an issue with Juwan. Then you get to the left side where I like Wanya Morris. I'm one of the highest people apparently in Chiefs Kingdom on Wanya Morris. But the general thought process is he might be more of a swing guy. And when you're drafting consistently at 30, 31, 32, you're not getting a top-end left tackle. And oh, by the way, a lot of these top-end guys, it takes a year or so for them to even develop. Again, that's why I'm a little higher on Wanya Morris, because I think that 1 year going into a second year is going to be a huge developmental leap for him. But I digress there. Like, even if you got let's just say a top 15 left tackle. Year one is going to be a lot of ups and downs. Andrew Thomas, who's a great left tackle right now in the NFL for the Giants, was really bad his rookie seasons. Everyone kept calling him a complete and utter bust. It's a hard position. I think it's the most challenging to predict college your first year in the NFL at tackle as well as defensive line. The trenches are just such a different game from college to the NFL. I really believe that. Now, the bust rate, I think, is lesser at tackle once their career progresses and goes on. But even you get guys like Alex Leatherwood against the Raiders drafting, we all thought, what the hell are they doing? That was 17th overall.
Yep.
Right. So yeah. My worry meter is there because I don't know where they go with Juwan Taylor's contract and how much that is hampering their ability to make a veteran splash move. But also, I'm still higher than most on Wanya Morris, so I'm not going to max panic right here, even if I don't think they can get a game changing left tackle in this upcoming draft.
Yeah, I'm not worried, man. I'm not really at all worried. We just won a Super Bowl with Donovan Smith, who is like at the very end of his career. I mean, he's a league average replacement to me, bring in another guy. Yeah. I'm with you. I really like Wanya Morris. I think he's got the goods. He was projected to need some time. Here's what I wish the Chiefs would do. I wish they would actually go into the season with what they already have. I don't want to push youth down the chart wondering, well, maybe they still have something. I want a year where they're like, okay, now we fully know Wanya can or can't, Winogo can or can't, Niang's got nothing, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I want it to be game tested. So then you come in going, we now know exactly what we have on hand. But you don't. Last year, Winogo beat out both Morris and everyone for a swing tackle role. Then he gets injured. Coming into the season, he was going to be the swing tackle. He was OT3. Taylor's still growing into that role. I wish they would look at Wanya and go, it's yours to lose. Behind him, we got Winogo, and we'll get a veteran. I want them to add like another veteran.
Okay, that was my question. You said you wanted them to go in with what they have. My thought was, is that mean no, like Donovan Smith.
In fact, I would re-sign Donovan Smith.
I would too, as your backup, correct?
Yep, as my backup.
We're on the same page then, yeah.
Yep. And I would look Wanya in the eye and I'd say, this is yours this year, of course, unless you suck. And then we'll replace you with a league average guy. We'll do it. And then I look at Winogo and go, hey, if you want a spot, take it. Take it from Donovan. Take it from Wanya if you want. I'd look at Juwan and go, anchor this fucking line like you're being paid $20 million. And then I'm looking at Lucas Niang and going, you're in your contract year, and we're still quoting what Chase Young said about you 4 years ago in the draft. By the way, do you remember this? You remember the talk in that draft one was the dominance of Chase Young. And then we talked up a tackle saying how amazing Chase Young made him sound. Now we're looking at both of them going, would anyone care to have either Chase Young or Lucas Niang on their roster? No. That tells you all you need to know about the NFL draft, by the way.
Yeah, that was one of the last articles I actually wrote for Arrowhead Addict. I remember it was about how I was going through Lucas Niang. I was like, you know what? I could see him being a future right tackle. I got the size, athleticism. Look what Chase Young said.
Right. Yeah. So now we're like, who? Chase Young. After that, Mike Dana. Are you kidding me?
That's why I talk instead of write now, apparently. comment from No Way says, I feel like whoever Beach brings in, he has proved himself 2 years in a row. Relax. It's a good point, man. Like, Brett Veach has proved himself that he can construct a roster, whether or not it's littered with all pros at every position, which in the salary cap era is obviously impossible. Whether we think the contract might not be great, which again, I didn't think the Juwan Taylor contract is great, but they've won back to back, one with, one without, obviously with Orlando Brown Jr. the year before. You know, it's just they find ways to get it done. And obviously, Mahomes will mask some of these issues as well. But I do think roster construction overall has been phenomenal for Kansas City. You look, and maybe the draft that they've had hasn't been littered with superstars all around them, but they consistently find guys and draft guys that are making an impact, right? And I think that's just as important because they're not missing on a lot of guys. There's not a draft, you look at 3, 4, 5 guys where you're like, yeah, these guys aren't even playing. They're on other teams. There'll be a couple, and he had one draft early on that was atrocious. That may have been his first draft, actually.
Oh, his first draft was one of the worst ever.
His first draft was horrendous. But I mean, since then, I mean, even if you look at guys like Rashad Fenton, who was no longer on the team, he was at least a Super Bowl participant and contributor. Like last year, look at the amount of guys that contributed as a rookie the year prior. Like, he does a great job. Again, maybe they aren't the biggest superstars or impact players, but they find ways to make impact in regards to this team. And yeah. I think that's a huge thing where you're not just completely swinging and misses. He's getting singles and doubles as well.
Yep. Yeah. I'm with you. And No Way makes a great point. A couple caveats here as we're talking these things. One, if we say we're worried about the Chiefs, we're worried on a whole different level than people would say, I'm worried about the Raiders. I'm worried about the Chargers. I'm worried. Like it's all relative, folks. So if we say, oh my gosh, we're very worried. If we say we're moderately to very worried about the state of tackle, it means, hey, we don't have it all at A plus tackles on a Super Bowl team. We may only win by 10 instead of 20 in the championship game. I mean, like, that's what we're talking about. And we know that. So, like, no one should run with this and say, like, oh, my gosh, these two think the Chiefs tackles are the worst in football and they're going to lose the AFC West. No one's thinking that. And two, the other thing, Brett Veach, first draft ever was maybe the worst in Chiefs history. His second draft, not all that great. However, the 23 draft – is that right? 22 draft. Maybe the best in Chiefs history. It's certainly a top 3 to 5. Incredible deep. And then last year's, I like last year's too. I think he's on a bender. That whole front office is on fire right now. I love mostly everything they're doing, including their most recent signings, which are, I love the Carson Wentz deal. I love the Mike Dana deal. I love what they're doing. So yeah. I love that they brought Chris Jones back. I think Veach is getting great at what he does. Everyone gets better at their job. Josh McClayton just said he's getting better with experience. Totally agree. So those things need to be said as we're talking about how much.
Okay, Tyreek Hill. It needed to be said.
Oh, by the way, I miss Tyreek Hill. Do you?
No, we're not doing this.
Okay, never mind. That's not a part of our worryometer. One thing that is, you and I have talked about this before. I want to get you just officially on the record here. The development of Felix and your DK Uzoma, min, max, or medium?
And the Worry-O-Meter says...
That's a little higher than I thought you'd say.
It's minimum. It's firmly in the medium or minimum.
See, minimum. You got tripped up over your own words there.
Hard. It's hard. I'm firmly in the minimum, not like a one, but this would be like a 2.5.
Okay.
Right. I would like to see more, obviously, but you and I think are in agreement of he's a developmental guy. Like,
we're total harmony here, man. We're like Wilson Phillips.
We're like Hall and Oates before, you know. We're like...
we're a rich girl.
Yeah. But I'm not worried about a guy who was that young. I know people keep saying, yo, they said about George Karloftis. Yeah, but they drafted a guy with a high floor in Karloftis. We knew FAU was unique. First off, coming from a unique system at K-State where it was a 3-3-5. Right now, all of a sudden, you're in the NFL and it's a completely different style. You're not running a 3-3-5. Yeah. No, like it was going to take some adjustment. I'm not worried. You're not taking Chris Jones. You're not taking Mike Daniels, who's having a nice season. You're not taking Charles Aminihu. You're not taking George Karloftis off the field in obvious pass rush down situations. So, what do you want him to do? You're either taking one of those guys off the field or Or FAU sitting. So FAU sat.
Yep.
I'm not worried. Now, if he all of a sudden with Charles Aminihu out, if all of a sudden game four rolls around, Aminihu's still out, and FAU is getting three snaps a game or is a healthy scratch, well, then yes. Yes, sure. Then I'll be very, very concerned. But until then, I'm not. Again, for me, second year, now we can judge. Yep. Last year was a redshirt year. I'm not judging. This year, even by game four, game five, with Charles Aminihu out, and if he's not playing, then yes, then I will be concerned.
Yeah. You just said it. Aminihu being out is the runway that he now gets to, like, can you fly? Let's put the plane on the runway. Let's see a taxi. Let's see it take off. How does he do? I'll say this. I saw a stat earlier. I'm not quoting it verbatim. However, it was something to the tune of like all draft picks. Like 35% of draft picks play 17 snaps a game or more in their first year, right? In other words, it's hard to play as a rookie. It's hard to play as a rookie.
The one pushback I'll give you, Matt, would do it for first rounders. I'll even say first and second rounders because 32.
That was first rounders.
Just first rounders. That.
I thought that was first rounders.
I thought you said just all rookies. That's on me then.
Oh, sorry. Well, maybe I have the stat wrong. Folks, I'm quoting a random stat I saw once randomly. Maybe I'm making it all up. I don't know. You don't know. I'm in my head, and now I'm in your head. I'm making up a stat to back up what I think. I saw it. I don't know. Good thing this is not like some police report because I'd be like, dude, your story's changed three times. I'm a horrible witness. I take back whatever I said. Everyone should be worried about FAU. No, I don't think they should be worried at all, man. Look, the guy's going to be we said this before, a situational pass rusher. Situational pass rusher. He's not going to start on the edge. He's not going to set the edge against the run. He's not going to be that bulky, that long to be a full-timer on the outside. That's why Mike Dana was just re-upped for multiple seasons. He is going to come in like Aminihu did last year and make everyone go, or could make everyone go, holy hell, that guy's got a motor. And when you add him to the mix, that gets real fun. And I think that's what he's going to add. I'm not worried about it. I'm a 2 out of 10, firmly in the min like you are. Let's do one more. You good for that?
Let's do it, baby.
Let me go to one here. Let me go to one that, like, I pulled some of our writers earlier today. Scott Loring is one of our writers at Arrowhead Addict. He goes by El Travador on Twitter. He's a great follow on Twitter, by the way. Scott told me this, or Scott wrote this. He said, my biggest concern for the Chiefs, is the lack of an offensive protege to Andy Reid, someone that we know will take over when Reid does retire. The most terrifying thought for me is one where Mahomes decides that he wants out at age 34 or 35 and then spends the last 7 or 8 years of his career in another city. One, I love that we all think he's going to like play like Tom Brady did until he's 40, whatever. But yeah, I wanted to bring that here because I thought that's an interesting thing for me, the quandary, who knows? It's all like way future. So of course we're like looking through a fog here, but what do you think of that?
That's as low as it can go, baby.
Not even remotely. Take that, Scott. Take
dog.
That.
I like Scott a lot. He's very good at what he does.
Yeah, he is actually. Scott's a great guy.
It blows my mind. Blows my mind that people keep throwing out that Andy Reid is even remotely close to retiring. Give me one second here. Andy Reid is how old? Andy Reid is 66, right? Just turned 66, by the way. Calipari is what, 65? Does anyone ever question his age? How long he wants to coach for in college basketball? Does anyone ever want to question Pete Carroll? No one was questioning Pete Carroll. No one questioned that Bill Belichick wanted to still coach. But we question Andy Reid because he's sturdy, because he's a thicker dude and he likes to eat burgers for some reason, because his mustache is gray. Like, I don't understand this. Andy Reid consistently says, yeah, I love football, man. I want to be around it. There's no thoughts of retiring, nothing. And yet people are still like, yeah, but what if he does? He's telling you. What is Andy going to do? Go fishing?
Love it.
No, Andy Reid is a football coach. This is what he loves to do. Like, it's not, I don't think it's just a job for him. I think it's a passion. I think it's a hobby as well. Andy Reid lives, breathes, and is football. So all this talk of, well, who's his protege going to be? We probably don't even know who he is. He won't be on this, not on this team right now. Is he even in college yet? Is he a college coach? Is he a high school coach? Is he still in high school? Like, I don't get this whole thought of, you know, because some dude who has no sources and all of a sudden says, source, we're supposed to all of a sudden believe that he knows that Andy Reid might retire, is contemplating retiring. No. Jalen goes, Nick Saban would have been 73 in October.
Yeah.
Right? But again, because Andy Reid is sturdy, we have to have this dog and pony show that, oh, he's got to be close to retiring. He's got to. Look, the mustache is gray. He did a thing with Guy Fieri eating a burger. Like, it's like, God.
Your voice has a thing right now. You've like reached a level of
irritation.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, I get Justin goes, he's not exactly healthy. Bill Self wasn't healthy. I love Bill Self. He's a couple years younger. He had a heart issue. He's back. No one questions Bill Self anymore. Like, I don't get it. And by the way, I get he's larger. Do we know his health? I've not seen his health records. Just because you're sturdy doesn't necessarily mean you're extreme. Like, we don't know.
Sturdy. I love that you've used that word like 5 times, sturdy.
He's
like
six, it's a,
like it's a 19th century piece of furniture.
Yeah, it's sturdy. He's 66. He ain't going nowhere.
It's a Ford LTD, folks. They don't make them like they used to, those sturdy cars.
But I don't get it. Why does everyone act like he's 76 instead of 66?
Yeah, yeah. It's overblown. I'm not worried about it remotely either. You know, I trust Andy Reid to tell us when Andy Reid is done. And I'm surprised that people ask him. I mean, you know, I mean, Chiefs reporters will just ask him. It's like, and they've been around him more than anyone else. I don't, yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. Sorry for getting heated. I apologize for that.
No, man, I love it. Worryometer that makes our blood boil, man. It's here to measure that.
It's just my pet peeve. It's my pet peeve. Like,
dude, I went off on Applebee's to start the show. Yeah. If I'm allowed to do that, you're allowed to do this. Look, we're almost to the end of the show where we usually get to the must list, and we will in just a second. But on Monday, reporters asked our boy Nick Bolton about entering into a contract year. And this isn't on the worryometer. I just want to bring it up because it's news, because Nick Bolton's coming in the last year of his four-year deal. Either he's going to be reaching free agency less than a year from now, or the Chiefs are going to lock him up to a long-term agreement. And if they were to do so, early summer is probably a good time to announce such an extension. I wanted to get your thoughts on this as we head out today. I know he's your boy, went to Mizzou. You've liked Bolton a lot since you came in the league, even before that. Are you pro contract extension here in general? Are you measured about it, like at the right turn? Like, just kind of curious what you thought, because Nick said, of course, you know, it'd be my dream, a dream come true, he said, to make that happen.
Yeah, this is hard because I love Nick Bolton. The linebacker position has slowly started to have a lessened importance in today's NFL. But with that being said, Nick Bolton is the vocal leader, the green dot. He does so much more than just what he does on the field, which I know is going to drive people insane. I get it. It's the same reason why I go back and forth with Adam Best all the time on Justin Reed, right? I think Justin Reed is more than just his on-field performance. Like, I think he's a tone setter. I think Nick Bolton's a tone setter. I think he's extremely intelligent. I think Nick Bolton is one of the most intelligent linebackers in football. I think his football IQ is through the roof. It does come down to the contract, which is obviously very a soft thing for me to say, but it's true. Like, if he's like, I want to be the highest paid linebacker. Sorry, not going to happen. It's just not the most valuable position to build around in today's NFL. It's just not. Again, he's also not great in pass coverage, right? That we know his strength. We know his weaknesses.
Yeah.
So it's going to come down to the right contract, but I would try very, very hard in today's I'd try very, very hard to keep him in Kansas City because, again, I do think there's a lot of value to him that does not just show up on the stat sheet.
Yeah. I want to throw in there, we've had hand injury. We've had ankle injury. It's not like he's been, like, captain reliable since he's come to KC either. And his overly physical, aggressive style doesn't exactly portend some sort of, like, 17 games a year guy anyway. So I'm not saying he's injury prone. I hate that label gets thrown around a lot around guys who don't deserve it. And Nick Bolton's not that guy, but I don't want to also pretend that that's not a concern going forward.
What I will say, he's very young. He just turned 24.
Sure.
Right? So that second contract, you're still expecting to get some damn good years.
If it's a three-year deal, you have him through his 28th season. I mean, that's killer.
Yeah.
Prime years.
So you could find me talking myself in or out of it. Again, the contract and what we see, which is obviously a very silly thing to say because, of course, but – as long as he's not wanting, you know, top dollar in just maybe current market value, not trying to reset it by any means, then I would be intrigued. I do understand where Steve is saying, I love Bolton. When he was out, the defense was fine. That's a completely fair argument. Completely fair argument. Obviously, right now, no Willie Gay Jr. So that third spot, Leo Chenal is going to have to really step up. Obviously, I love Drew Tranquil as well. And I'm very excited to see those two guys play together because I think Nick and Drew and even Leo, to an extent, all three of those guys on the field at the same time, they all pair well together, right? Especially Drew and Nick. I mean, that's going to be very, very fun to watch. Just the combination of two extremely intelligent linebackers who are versatile, who can kind of make up for each other's weaknesses to an extent as well. I do like Lauren because I'm in the same boat as his. He says, I wear his jersey, so I'd like to extend him for sure. Yeah, I would too. I got his rookie number though. I got number 32. I got the rookie Bolton.
Rookie
54. Which one? I have 54, his rookie number. Which one is his rookie number? Now I'm drawing a blank. I'm so used to.
Oh, man. I think he is the 32.
Nick Bolton is currently
54.
So then I have his 32. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I'll add this. Everyone's kind of crapping on the linebackers, but it'll be interesting to me to see how the Chiefs defense looks because, man, they had their best linebacking core this year. Ever, maybe. It's the best group of linebackers I can ever remember the Chiefs having since I started watching them, which goes back to 1987. And I'll say this, it was a joy to watch them, and their defense was one of the best in the NFL. I don't want to say that linebackers aren't – I realize their monetary value is falling, but there's something there that I almost think it makes me – I don't want to spend at the position because it won't cost you so much to get top-end talent. I just love what the Chiefs were able to do in the second level this year. Yeah. Folks, we are at the end of another show, which brings us to our must list. By the way, thanks for listening, anyone. We're just so glad to ever have you. Let's bring in our producer, Richard. If you're behind the scenes and don't know, Richard is – he's like dead mouse back there, twisting knobs and just tweaking things and making – man, this show doesn't happen without him in a million ways, putting together all kinds of details. And, yeah, just – Richard, you do a great job. I just want to publicly say that.
Thanks, Connor. That was really cool of you. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here. Hello, viewers. Hello, listeners. It's me, Richard.
Plus, he's got that deep vocal. I wish I had that.
Connor's got a great voice, okay, everyone? Everyone tell Connor he's got a great voice.
Oh, man, Connor, you have a great voice.
I know. Connor's I wish I had that, like, voice. Baritone, bass, sort of bot register. I'm somewhere between, like a Muppet and a... And a guy who grew up near Kentucky. That's kind of where I – anyway.
That's cool.
Welcome to the must list where we talk about something that we would just love to recommend. Is it something that we've read, listened to, watched, inhaled, drank, heard about, whatever it is? And Sterling, I'd love to start with you.
Yeah, I
am. What do you have on this week's must list?
I'm going with the 2007 album by Rush, Snakes and Arrows. I get it's not like Rush's best stuff by any means, but I think it's a damn good album. Came out in 2007 when I was in middle school, and I thought it was so badass. First couple songs, I mean, the first six songs of the album, I think, go very, very hard. I thought it was recorded very well. The drums sound very crisp, very deep. I'm a fan. I always hate when people are like, oh, yeah, well, their good stuff only came out in the 80s just for different classic rock bands. I'm like, that's because you were in school when that came out, so you have memories attached to that. Try and say, pretend you're listening to this band for the first time, right? Would you like that album or not? I think if you put on that 2007 album, Snakes and Arrows by Rush, and you've never heard their previous stuff, you'd sit there and go, this kicks ass. So I challenge people to try and do that when you're listening to classic rock bands that came out with newer material. I'm a fan of it, so
love it. Richard, I'm assuming you want to go because you don't want to close out the show. Am I correct in saying that?
Oh yeah, I mean, I love closing out the show, but I just can't do it today. I've got so many other things to do, so I appreciate that. But I do want to second that with what Sterling just said. You know, bands evolve, they change, you know, just try them out. You know, an older band doing new things, that's fine. Let's give it a shot. I'm going to recommend something not weird because we had a little pre-show talk and Sterling was like, Richard's always recommending some weird band. Don't even defend it. You know, it's true. I know it's
Sterling
true.
But I didn't say Richard. I disliked it. I said I dug it.
I'm going to remember that comment the rest of my life. So we're doing one of Richard's classic. We're just going to recommend something that we all know is a good album and Connor loves it. Have you heard of these guys called the Beach Boys? They did this album called Pet Sounds. It's in my opinion, my subjective opinion, it's a perfect album. It's 13 tracks. You got two instrumentals. You've got Brian Wilson's really awesome production. You know, so if you're thinking of Beach Boys and it's all like songs about my girl and my coupe and my in the surf, this is, you know, later Beach Boys. This is when Brian Wilson was in competition with the Beatles and they're experimenting. You got theremin being used on tracks for the first time in like a rock record. Like it's a wild album if you sit there and actually listen to it and just, you know, try not to focus on that. It's the guys that used to sing about surfing, you know, they're not doing that anymore.
Richard, I never meant for you to feel this way.
Oh yeah,
I said I enjoyed your weird.
Yeah, he did.
I just wanted a reason to talk about pet sounds. It's okay.
You could have done that either way without throwing me under the bus. What the hell?
You were thrown under multiple buses. It was like a freeway. It was an overpass, and you got hit by a hole.
Yeah, Sterling was real hard on Richard before the show, which is why I chose to uplift Richard.
And you chose Malort, Matt Connor. You chose the drink Malort.
Yeah. You know, anyway. Hey, for my must list, I even forgot what I was going to say. Now I've totally forgotten.
Just say pet sounds.
What I was going to say, I'm going to recommend pet sounds, not Beach Boys, but rather just making the sounds of your pets, whatever they are at home. So that's what I recommend. If you have a dog, you guys remember Robert Palmer?
Yeah.
The guy, Might As Well Face It, You're Addicted to Love guy. I don't know if you've ever heard his albums beyond the singles, like Addicted to Love or not, but his biggest album, Riptide, it's killer. Front to back. It's like not just like, oh yeah, that guy who had like women dancing in the background who like all like had greased back ponytails and dressed the same. Anyway, he was like serious songwriter. He passed away way too early. He put together a couple damn good records. He's like kind of a hidden great songwriter from the 80s. So I'll throw it out there.
He was in Power Station, correct?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Some like it hot and some sweat when the heat is on.
Yeah, dude. Love it. Love it. Look at you with the Power Station reference. Anyway, Robert Palmer's great. All this stuff is great. Malort is great. Our power meter, our meter.
Malort's not great, by the way. Malort is horrendous.
Well, I was just trying to compliment everything at the end of the show since you were so hard on Richard earlier. I'm just trying to lift up everything. Folks, as always, Sterling won't tell you how great you are, but I will, because I, at least, as one half of this duo, and Richard does too, so now it's the majority, appreciate all of you forever listening, hanging out with us, doing whatever. We have a lot of fun doing this, and it's impossible without all of you. So much love to all of you and yours as you prep for the draft season, however you will. On behalf of Sterling Holmes, Richard, myself, thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll see you next time here on the Arrowhead Ag Podcast.
Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.